Yes, y'all know how blessed we are to be in a place where we don't hear rain like we heard rain in that other building. Look, we would pray, Lord, don't let it rain. It was a brand new building, but there was no insulation. Basic, they had some, but it wasn't good enough. Look, one time it rained, I had to holler to get to the back because it was so loud. I mean, you heard every drop that hit the top. I mean, it was that bad. And look, it was like, oh my Lord, this is bad. But we thank God for what we had. You know, we thank God. We just pray that it would not rain on Sunday mornings or Wednesday, whatever, you know. And we can go on. But thank the Lord. Amen. Let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're starting out week two of 2023 with a shower pouring out of rain. Well, we want to see, we don't want a trickle of the Spirit of God. We want a pouring out of the Spirit of God upon our church, upon our people. Because you see, it's the Spirit of God that will change the life of a person. You see, it's the evil spirit that wants to destroy the people. But it's God's Spirit that wants to bring life to the spirit, to the people of God. Life unto us. Life unto us. We know what John 10:10 says. For the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. We got to remember that, people. He wants to steal everything from you. Do you realize that? Really. He wants to steal your spouse. He wants to steal your children. He wants to steal your grandchildren. He wants to steal your church. He wants to steal everything he can to bring destruction of whatever he can do. Steal, kill, if he can, physically or spiritually. And then not just steal from us, not just steal, not kill us, but destroy us in the end. His plan for you in 2023 from Lucifer himself is to destroy your life. But we know this. He doesn't realize he's that stupid to realize that he was defeated over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary for us. He was defeated when God threw him down upon the earth because he had tried to go up beyond God or go above God, and God threw him down and said, you will not have or be over me. He was defeated then, and he was defeated at Calvary's cross, and he will be defeated this year in our lives. Amen. No matter what goes on, trust God and obey him. Amen. Our motto for this year, you might say, well, how did you come up with that? I didn't come up with it. The Spirit of the Lord spoke it to me and produced it in my heart and in my soul for this church. Beyond that, that's God, what he wants to do in other churches. But I know this, in 2023, this year, we shall trust our God and we shall obey him no matter what. No matter what plays in our hearts, no matter what difficulties we go through, no matter what triumphs we go through, we will trust him. We will obey him. Because of who he is, and we are his children. He didn't say everything would go right. He didn't say everything would go good. Now, he brings life to us, and he wants good things to happen in our lives. But we have to trust him, and we got to obey him in the good times and in the difficult times. Because you see, difficult times will come. But we know this, God is still in control. He's still in control. He has defeated the enemy in the beginning. He defeated the enemy on the cross for us. And one day he'll defeat him again when that trumpet blows. When he comes back for his people, us. He's a defeated foe. Three strikes and you're out. Well, the first one he was out. The second one he sure was out. And the third one he's gone. And all his demon spirits and all that stuff, that's gone, people. Well, it's still here today, but it will be gone one day. And thrown into the lake of fire, my Lord. God has given us the victory, people. Trust and obey. Just trust him. You might say, Father, how do I do that? You spend time with God and you find out who he is. You spend time in that word and you find out who God is. And when you come across a truth, obey it. Okay? Obey it. Some things are easy to obey, huh? Some things are mediocre, it looks a little difficult, and some things are just very hard. But we have to remember this. We trust him. We trust him. That what he speaks to us, what he shows us as the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God, remember, flash news. The Spirit of God speaks to his people. Okay? It says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. You know the voice of Almighty God. You know him. Don't let the enemy tell you you don't know him and you're confused. That might be the case every once in a while, but I tell you what, you know the voice of God. Don't let the enemy tell you you don't. You do. Because the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God is in you. Trust him. Trust God. Trust him with everything you have this year. Trust him with who you are. Trust him with your job. Trust him with your spouse. Trust him with your children. Trust him with your money. Trust him with your material blessings. Trust him with everything. Trust him. And then obey him. And what he speaks. See, this is what I've learned. That whatever he calls you to do, whatever he calls you, wherever you are, whatever he calls you to do, he will equip you for that job. He will speak to you. He will tell you things, what to do, how to do it, as you rely upon him. As you rely upon him for your family and your friends. Men, as head of your homes, trust God. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not married. Okay, you're the head of the home then now. It's true. You trust God. You trust him and say, Lord, you know where I am. And God will bring you to that place where you need to be. And he will speak to you. And he will show you things. He will reveal himself to you. Because you see, we're on the move to trust him and to obey him. And not let anything get in our way of any kind. If it gets in our way, we go over it, we go underneath it, we go around it somehow. Whenever there's a mountain, you can do one of the two things. You can blast your way through it, you can climb it and get across it, you can go to the left side around it or the right side around, right, left, around it. Either one, whatever you want to do. Or you can rent a helicopter and fly over it. Or a balloon and fly over it. However you want to do it. But I tell you what, we trust our God. We trust him. Trust him with everything. I know the enemy, it says, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. You are to have life, to live life, people. Live life. God is in you. Live life. That doesn't mean you go and do things that are evil. None of that stuff. But you live life to the fullest. Doing things for the kingdom of God. giving of yourself to him and living the life that he desires and wants you to live, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people about the Lord, praying with people, helping people, whatever it is that God calls, you do it. And you do it with a happy heart. You do it because God has spoken these things. Look, flash news again. We are not our own. Okay? The Christian world thinks, well, I can do what I want to do and go where I want to do and be what I want to be. Flash news, if you think that way, I know none of you. I'm just saying. If you think that way, I question your salvation. Because we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We do the things that God calls us to do. We go where God says to go. We live a life that is pleasing unto him. And in the meantime, he lets us have fun. Hallelujah. Good things. You know, it's only God that can bring that peace on the inside. A peace that surpasses all understanding, it says. Beyond measure. You don't know how many people are looking for peace. And they're looking for peace in a bottle. Talking about beer bottle. Down a pill bottle. Smoking whatever. There's no peace in that, I'm telling you. And let me tell you. It only takes one sip. And you can get hooked on alcohol and it'll destroy your family. And you in the midst. Talk with people that are hooked on drugs. Ask them, it took one time. But there's hope. And the hope is in Jesus Christ. And what he did at Calvary's cross. You see, we take, you know, we've taken or we used to or whatever. We do that for that peace. But only God can give peace. Amen. That goes beyond that. Don't look into those things. But look into the God who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with him. With him. Amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 3. Y'all long-winded. I love you guys. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 5 and 6. We trust and obey him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Here we see the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. Solomon was King David's son. King David had a son, one Solomon. Solomon is writing Proverbs under the unction and power of the Holy Spirit, okay? All the whole scriptures, the whole Bible is by the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Penned down by men that God would come over and they would write it down for us to have today. Thank you, Lord, that he loved us so much to give us this guidance. But Proverbs was written by Solomon, King Solomon, who was David's son. But King Solomon was writing it because in the first 7 chapters of Proverbs, it talks about he keeps saying, my son, my son. He's writing it to his son. He's writing it to his son. So he's saying, son, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Son, do this. Son, trust me. Son, trust me. Son, trust God. What he was saying, trust God. Which we know, and we can take it today as meaning, he was writing it to his son, but the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit was really, it was being written to his son, but also written to mankind. We are to trust God. You see, his son was going to become the next king. And so you see, he had to instill in him the word. That's why, you know, you know, tell parents, instill the word of God in your children's lives. Take the time every day, if you can, to read some scripture to them. Read it. Explain it to them. Because when they're young, they desire the things of God. When they get older, it becomes hard sometimes for the Spirit of God to get through to their minds and their hearts. So, you know, we're to do all that we can to inspire them to know God's Word and to teach them the Word of God so that it could be written on the tablets of their hearts, so that they will never forget the Word, what it means, what God says is correct, what God says is wrong. I mean, let me tell you this, and you know it. Anybody working out there, the world has a distorted thinking of what is right and wrong. I mean, it's bad, and sometimes you think you're the only one in that place, you know, or area that is going to stand up for what the Word says. But you see, either they've heard it and rejected it, or they've never heard it. I don't know. So here he was writing it to his son. We need to grab that word, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It didn't say trust him, you know, with just a little bit of your heart, you know, or just a quarter of it, you know, cut it in four, just a quarter, Lord, or just half, or just three-fourths. He says everything. Now, that still doesn't mean when you trust him with everything that you won't make mistakes. And you won't make the wrong decisions sometimes. But you see, you're still acknowledging him, trusting him, and God will come in and make a way where there seems to be no way. That's God. He will make a way where there seems to be no way for you to possess that home or possess that vehicle or get whatever needs to be gotten. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And we know it's only because of God and what he can do and what he can accomplish in our hearts and in our lives. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12, please. Page 22. And when Solomon was writing this to his son, his son was just a teenage boy. They say between 12 and 20 in that age period of time. Critical age. In Genesis chapter 12, look at verse 1. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them who bless you and curse him who curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." God made some promises to Abram before he changed him and his wife's name. He said this, he said, "I promise you land." A promise of descendants. You know, they had a problem with having children, huh? They had a problem. They just could not conceive any children, him and Sarah, Abram and Sarah. The promise of blessings and redemption. We know the lineage of Jesus comes from Abram or Abraham. And here we see, look at verse 1 again. We'll get to all three of them. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you." Here we see Abram. Anybody know, I'm just seeing if you know. You know, if you don't know, don't. But you can guess how old Abram was when God said, "Get out of here." He wasn't a quarter of a century old. He wasn't half a century old. He was 75. 75. That's not a young man, huh? 75 years of age. God had miraculously done something in Abram's life. We know he came from being an idol maker with his father. Somehow God got a hold of this man. Somehow. He must have had a heart for God. He must have made, can you imagine, he made these things and he said, whatever idol it was. There's many idols other places around here. But whatever idol was, can you imagine he'd make them and he'd say, there's no way. This man, there's no way. There's no way he created the whole, that no, an idol, another idol. And he just made them and people would come and buy them. And that's how they made their money. His father and him, and that's how they lived. But somehow, in the midst, I can't say it from scripture, but somehow in the midst, that's why I'll say it's just me, somehow God got a hold of his heart and touched that man's life. And God brought Abram and Sarai to a place where he changed their names because he made a covenant with them, like the three things we just read, the promises. But he told Abram, get out of this place. Let's read it again. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Sarah had no children. Abram was 75 years old. God was asking Abram to leave everything he knew. That's not easy. Abram didn't even know where he was going. Yet in spite of this, he obeyed God and went anyway. My Lord. People, trust God. Obey him. God spoke to Abram and said, get out of this land. Get out of this land. Get away from your family, your father's house. Not his wife. He was talking about separating them, taking them out so he could use them. And Abram trusted God, not even knowing where they would go. Can you imagine when Abram went to his father and said, look, I got to leave. Well, where are you going? I don't know. Well, who told you to leave? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Almighty God. And I wonder if his dad looked at one of the idols and said, is that one of them? I wonder. And if he did, I hope Abram said, no, that's trash. Leave that alone. Let me tell you this. There's only God that can answer prayer. There's only one mediator between God and man, according to the word of God, and that's Jesus Christ. The only way we can go to the Father is through Jesus Christ. If anybody denies Jesus and denies he's the only access, you better question their salvation and who they are, or lack of teaching, too. Because he is the only way, the only way, the only one that can answer prayer. Now, you might say, well, man, there's things. Yes, oh, Lucifer can answer and try to make God not the center of who he is and try to deceive people. He does that. He's the great deceiver. But I tell you what, God is the one that's in control. And God is the one that answers prayer through his son, Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives salvation. He is the one that gives hope. God Almighty through his son, Jesus Christ. My Lord, he told Abram, get out of this place and I will bring you to a land. Now, do you think that was easy for Abram? No. You know, we look at these men and women, and God asks them to do mighty things. And we think, well, man, they were anointed by God. They did. Let me tell you, they were mere men that trusted God. There were men that even their trust sometimes swayed. We can see with some of the disciples. Can you imagine you sleeping one night and the Lord comes to you and says, okay, get out of here. What? I want you to leave. Now, it has to be based upon the word too, okay? Because see, God had to do a mighty thing in Abram and Sarah to bring in the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. There's a plan by God. And they trusted Christ. I know sometimes this year, I'm telling you, I've been praying for you. God's going to ask you to do some things. God's going to ask you to go places. I'm not talking about leaving here. I'm just saying, just to branch out, people, because you see, Christ needs to be known. And it's going to be a little tough, but I tell you what, trust him. I'll never forget the night that we rode to the gate on. We were shaking in our shoes, people, saying, what's going to happen? After we had been treated so severely wrong. But we knew we had to come, and I said, let's just go. We knew kind of where we would start, but we didn't know what was going to happen. And look what God has done. He's looking for men. He's looking for women that take up the role and go and do what he calls us to do. You passing by in the store, and let me tell you, there's so many hurting people nowadays. They can't trust government. They can't trust family sometimes. They can't trust whatever. They're just down and out, people. People just disease and evil and whatever else. And you pass by them and the Spirit of God speaks to you. Go talk to them or tell them hi, because you never know. See, that's something we have to trust the Lord. And I know that's hard. I know. I've been asked to do things like that. But you see, we're full of the Spirit of the Lord. God wants to be known in this generation to the people. And if you and I flippantly just go on and say, no, we may never see that person again, ever. We don't know. That's, and I hate to say that's small, but in the eyes of God it's big, because everything he asks us to do is big with him. We have to trust him no matter what. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We want to figure it out. Huh? We want the beginning, the middle, the end, and in between everything. We don't have it unless God gives it to us. We have to trust him day by day, week by week, month by month. You might say, well, you know, I keep doing just the same thing over and over. But if your faith is in Christ, just keep doing the same thing over and over. So what? That means you're doing okay. You're doing good. You would think, well, I'm in a rut. Well, I don't know. If God didn't think you're in a rut, you're not in a rut. It doesn't matter what we think. It's what God thinks. Huh? What does God think of us? If we're doing what is right and we're doing according to his plan, we're doing things right. And we're not in a rut. We're living the life that God wants us to live. And when he wants us to divert us, he'll divert us. He'll show us things. My people know my voice. You know the voice of God. You know when he speaks to your spirit. You know when he speaks to your mind. You know when he's moving. Let God move through you. Trust him. Trust him with everything you have. And God will open doors like you've never seen before. Look at this. Look at verse 2. It says, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will bring blessings upon you. I will bless you that bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in you, I will make all the families of the earth be blessed. You might say, well, why did you say I all the time? Because that's what it's meaning. I, who's the I? Jehovah God. Seven times. Seven. You might say, well, they didn't say I, the second part of the verse of two. I will bless you. That's what it, but it's meaning, and make your name great. It's meaning I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bring blessings upon you. I will bless you, bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. That's God seven times telling Abraham, look what you have to look forward to. If you branch out, look, let me tell you, if you stay in one place and not move when God says to move, And when I say move, I mean move and do what God wants you to do in your life. If you stay in that one area and don't do what God wants you to do and keep resisting God, you will die. Yes, amen. Spiritually. You might say, well, what do I do? You go and you repent and you say, Father, forgive me. And you say, Lord, get me to the I will. I will. God says he will bless Abraham. He will do a mighty work in his heart and life. Seven times. Which seven is the number of what? Perfection. He's saying, Abraham, leave this place. Trust me. And I will do all these things. Now, that doesn't mean it came the next day, all these things. Just because God tells you some things doesn't mean it will happen the next day. It could. It could not. It could be next year. Could be in 2 years, 5 years, whatever it is. Whatever he wants to do. We just keep ourselves right before him. We keep ourselves looking towards him no matter what. Because you know why? We trust him and we obey him. In 2023, no matter what. Look at this. Seven times. Only one requirement to set these promises of God in motion with Abraham now. In 12:1 Genesis, he says he had to go. Look at this in that verse. It says, and now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of your country, from your kindred and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. He was in a familiar place, making idols, probably stopped that for a while. Because when he knew it was wrong, he knew it was wrong. Jehovah God got a hold of him. He was in the rut of living his life with Sarah and all these things. And God spoke to him and said, get out of this land. Get out of here. If Abram would have stayed in that same place, he would have died. Spiritually, he would have died, 75 years of age. But he branched out in trust. He branched out. Can you imagine not knowing where you're going? Not knowing what land you're going to end up? Not knowing how you're going to feed your family? Not knowing how you're going to, you know, protection of your family, a house and whatever? Not knowing. But he trusted God. And look, God gave him a promise in the second verse of what he would do. He did not have to work it out. He trusted and he obeyed God. He did not have to figure it out. Listen, you can't figure it out. He did not have to make it happen. Get a hold of that. You can't make it happen, the things God has spoken to you about. Too many people are playing with witchcraft and they try to make things. That's witchcraft, trying to make it figure it out, make it happen. Let me tell you this, it's only God. It's only God that can make things happen according to his word. We try to manipulate sometimes and make it happen. Can't do it. It won't happen. It won't work. We got to sit back in the peace of God and trust him. Now, when he speaks, we do. When he says, we do. When he says go, we go. We can't make it happen. We trust him with our lives. He did not have to try to bring it to pass. All he had to do was go, trust, and obey. We can't make it happen. We can't work it out. We can't figure it out. I mean, I know when God, hey, I've done it. When God speaks a promise to you, you try to figure it out. Well, this will happen and this will happen and, you know, this will happen, and we, you know, for the longest time, I thought we'd buy that building across the street. I'll be honest with you. We put some money into that building. All she did was a shell of a cement and a shell. We did everything else, $30,000, a lot of work. And now she promised that she would sell it to us if she ever sold it. Now, that was new, but I honestly thought, until God had to change my mind and say, Joe, get back on track with this. Okay, Lord. And God knows what he's doing. God knew what he was doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, we can't figure things out. We have to trust him as the scripture says. When God speaks to you something, don't sit down, write everything. Write it out and try to figure it out. Well, this is going to come to pass. This is how it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. This person's going to go there. They're going to do this. It's not like a wedding, okay? Planning who's coming, who's not coming, what's going to happen, who's going to do. Not like or any ceremony we put on. We cannot figure out God because he picks and chooses what he wants to do and what people he wants to bring it about to happen in your life. Can you imagine? He's laid out the plan for your life. All we have to do is trust him. It's an, you know, why is it so hard? And I'm not saying you make it hard. We all sometimes just make it hard. But God says, trust and obey. I am, as a pastor, to trust God in doing the things that I know he wants me to do and trust him on how he wants to do it and make it happen. When I tell people we bought this building and we owe nobody, they can't believe it. Well, why not? You know, why not? God can do what he wants to do. We don't have to worry. You know how many pastors worry today on Sunday mornings? If they're around, whatever, and they have a big note to pay? You know how bad they're panicking in that pulpit? To see who's going to be there or not to pay their tithe or give their tithe or give their money because they have a note to pay that's so high. I knew one not around here, kind of far away, in the same state. No, borderline Mississippi, whatever. You know what their note was a month? $6,000. That's before paying utilities, insurance, whatever else that needed to be paid. And I know this for a fact, the pastor was not being paid because they couldn't afford it. That's not good. Why not build a building where you have a $1,000 note or no note, I don't know, and maybe not as fancy? Or do things like what you can do when time comes. There's a panic in the pulpit this morning. I'm telling y'all, I know it. Because of people not being there because of the rain. Sad. We have to trust Christ no matter what. We got to trust him. And I thank God for the things he's given unto us. It would amaze the people, the money that passes through this place. Thank you, Lord. But it would amaze you on what we give too. To ministry. Give and it shall be given unto you. We don't give just to give. We give because the power of God says, the Holy Spirit says to further the kingdom of God. To further the kingdom of God. To further the kingdom of God. To reach souls for the kingdom of God. To reach souls for the kingdom of God. To reach souls for the kingdom of God. My Lord, letting God do a mighty work, people. Trust Christ. Trust him. You might say, Pastor, I trust him. Ask the Lord about that. Yes, and you'll find out maybe not in every area. That's right. And that's okay. Look, that's not nothing to be ashamed of. That's areas we need to know. Lord, bring light. You know, the closer we get to God, the more light shines on us. The more we see areas that we don't like. And that's good because we need God to help us in these areas. To help us in these. That doesn't mean you're not saved. You know, you have people say, well, you know, he made a mistake. He can't be saved. That is not truth more than the man on the moon. The salvation of God is sure and true. The only way that salvation can leave from a person if that person turns from God and says, I don't want you, and rejects that salvation is taken away. But if that person, you might say, well, if they make a mistake, you know, God will not forgive. God will forgive every time you and I go to the altar of God and ask for forgiveness. You might say, well, he doesn't get tired of it. Well, he doesn't get tired of it because the blood covers it. He knows what it is. He's a God that became flesh. He knows what it is to fight those things. He knows what it is. He didn't have the sin nature, but he knows how it is. God forgives every time a person bows their head, gets on their knees, calls out to God, driving, whatever you do. When you call out to God, you can rest assured that God will forgive you and I no matter what. And when he forgives, he expects us to turn around and towards him and put our faith and trust in him and what he did at Calvary's cross. The blood of Jesus is powerful. It's powerful. It cleanses a man or a woman's soul of sin, and it brings them on a path of righteousness towards God. Right standing. And right then, we're cleansed. You know, you have a teaching going around that once you get saved, you never sin again. You ever heard something so ridiculous? It's like, I think, where people, they have to be dropped off from somewhere alien space and dropped off. You just don't understand that you never sin again. Well, why did Jesus come? Not good. Not good. You ever hear something that just doesn't ring a bell with you? Question it. Or come talk to me. He had to obey Christ. Trust him and obey him. You know, it's up to God to bring to pass the things that he speaks to us, people. It's up to him. Don't make it work out. You trust, you obey, and you let God work. Now, that doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing. Because praying is trusting. Praying is believing in God. It says, believe me. Believe me for what I can do. You know, I know the enemy will try to tell you, well, my kids, your sons and daughters will never give their lives to him. That is a bunch of hogwash. Let me tell you, we know a God that can get control of them, and we know a God that can go in their bedrooms. We know a God that can go on their work and do a mighty work in them. We know a God that can change circumstances. We trust him that he will make things work out, and they will come to repentance because of the God we serve. It is up to us to act in faith and trust and obedience. Don't worry about the how. Get this. You might want to write this. Oh, I see y'all taking good. Good job, guys. When I say it, I just emphasis, I guess. But don't worry about the how. Trust in the who. W-H-O. I'll say it again. Don't worry about how God's going to do it. You see, we don't worry about that. Don't worry. It says, don't worry. All we do is pray and trust our God. Don't worry about the how, but trust in the who. And that's Christ, our Lord and Savior. We know this. God changed the name of Abram and Sarai, and changed their name to Abraham and Sarah. And we know that God promised them a son, huh? We know that he was 75 years old when God changed the pattern of his life. He was 90 years old when God promised him basically a son that he would work and do those things from him and Sarah. Not him and Hagar. Okay? And when he came to almost 100 years of age, well, before that, their trust in what God wanted to do was starting to sway. In both of them. But if you read chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 3, it says, in you, talking about in Abram and Sarai, this lineage would come. Okay? From the beginning, God promised it. Sometimes we make mistakes and we try to figure things out, huh? They got tired of waiting. And they said, we know what we're going to do. Let's take my handmaiden, Hagar, and let her go with Abraham. And their son Ishmael came about. Lord, still paying that price today. But that wasn't the promised one that God promised. Sometimes we make mistakes in waiting. Because it's a virtue, let me tell you, in waiting. Look, you wait and you pray and you wait and you pray and you wait and you pray and sun comes up, sun comes down, sun comes up, sun comes down. I mean, day after day after day, and you just kind of, okay. The prayers of the righteous, what does it do? Avails what? What? Much? Let's say it again. The prayers of the righteous avails much. That means they're powerful. Your prayers are powerful. Amen. Don't ever let the enemy think that it's nothing. That it doesn't amount to anything. Your prayers avail much to God. And his ears are close to the prayers of his people. They avail much. And the enemy knows it.
Yes,
when God's people pray about things, he knows it. Because the shackles of evil are broken off of God's people and the people that they're praying for that are not God's people yet.
Amen.
The shackles are broken off of their minds and hearts, and he knows it because it avails much. Powerful things happen because we're praying to a God that is powerful. We're praying to a God that conquered all the evil in the world 2,000 years ago on our behalf. And went even and prayed and preached after his, well, not ascension, after his resurrection. Went to the bowels of hell and preached the gospel. I wonder what he said. You should have stuck with me, the winner. We will stay with him, the winner. And we shall win. We've won already. The shackles that are broken when your prayers are prayed, people. So don't ever think, well, I'm just here in my little old room here, sitting on my little old couch here, whatever else, and you think nothing's happening. Let me tell you, the heavens shake. The enemy shakes. Hell shakes when a believer gets on his knees or however and starts praying. That's just a form of prayer. You can lay down, you can sit, whatever you want to do. Things happen. And we know they made a mistake. But God still kept his promise. God has promised you many things. We trust and obey him. You might say, I've made some mistakes. That's okay. Go on, repent. And let me tell you, God never reneges on his promise. He will bring it about. And we know this. At 100, Abram, and 90 years of age, Sarah, they had a son.
Yes, amen.
A miracle. That she could even bear a child and produce a child. God can bring life where there's no life. He's the life giver. Wow. I can understand why they didn't believe at times. Can you be put in their shoes? When they're creeping up to 76 and in 77 and 78 and you're thinking, oh, Lord, if you don't move soon, I don't know what's going to. And then to hit, I mean, you know, she hits 90 and he hits 100. And we know this. You know, they had disbelief before that because he was of age, Ishmael. God keeps his promises, people. Trust God. What he told you he would do, write it down and believe it. And just because you don't see it today and tomorrow and next month, next year, whatever, you still trust him and say, Lord, I know what your word says. till I go down into my grave, or you come back for me through the rapture of the church, I will believe your word and I will stand upon it. That's the kind of faith God is looking for in a people that will trust him no matter what. Not just a people that will trust him just because he's good to me today and he answered my prayer. He's not a sugar daddy either. Huh? That's what most Christians think. I'm telling you. Oh, he gives me this and he gives me that. Well, no. And they only like him when he does something good, good for me. No, no, no. He's the God of the universe. And he wants to be good to us and wants to and help us in our lives because we need help. We're in a desperate place. We need help. Huh? We need some help. We need help from the Holy Spirit to live a life pleasing unto God. We need help to make major decisions in the right place and doing the right thing. We need help in our marriages. We need help in raising our children. We need help in raising our grandchildren. We need help. And God is offering the help through his word and by his spirit. And lo and behold, we will trust our God this year like we've never trusted him before. And Lord, when my faith sways, Lord, bring me back on track, Lord, to trust him and believe. And let me tell you, I think we're going to see things. God will do things that we never thought were possible. But because we trusted him and obeyed his word. Obeyed his word. He will do what we want him to do according to his word. Amen. You may stand, please.